in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 746. I am your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my lovely guest co-host, Tony Knight.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
You're listening to us on KOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live as we do on Wednesdays at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 15th, 2023, a week and a day before Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble, gobble. On the show today, we have different stages in their show, Miss Lulu Bett. Later on, we'll be talking to Austin Shakespeare in their show, El Cid. And of course, we will have lively discussions, including the news and views of the world of theater in Austin, in Newark, New Jersey, in London, New York, Chicago, I don't know where else. Stick with us.
It's as real as it can be. A land where
Salt Lake City. Hi, Tony Knight.
Hi, Lisa Sheps.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm so happy to have you back here on the radio station.
I'm so excited. I think this might be my fourth.
It might be.
Or fifth.
I don't know. Who's
75th?
Counting?
75th. Who knows?
Maybe it's 75th. I'm just happy you're back. What's well, I know it's new. We're going to talk about the show you're doing a little later, but what else is new?
Let's see. I am taking singing lessons.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
From Mr. Adam Roberts?
Yes.
I
he
knew
is amazing.
It.
I
Shout
love
out
him.
To Adam Roberts.
Shout out.
I've never met him.
Uh-huh. Right.
I know, I'm kidding.
We should have a liar sound for you.
We should. Buzz, let's introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we?
I think we should.
Veterans all. We're a room of veterans. Not, well, offstage and on the air veterans.
There you go.
We have Bo Paul. Hi, Bo.
Hello.
Nice to be back. You have, you're wearing your glasses on your forehead.
I am. They'll come down later
okay.
when I have to
I'm
read
just,
stuff.
I'm just saying, if people, you know, we're an audio format here.
I know. Trust me, everybody in Radioland, it looks very rakish.
Bethany Harbaugh.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. And the incomparable Norman Blumenthal.
Hello.
Well, wonderful. We are a quorum. Did y'all recognize that song that we played at the opening?
No.
Saw to Lake.
Oh, that one.
A-C-T?
Oh, yes. Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Which one did you think I was talking
I
about?
Like
the other book.
The other one. So, yeah, Book of Mormon. I went to see it last night at Bass Concert Hall. The national tour is out and here. Has anybody seen it?
I've seen it before, but not this.
Not this time.
I've seen it before, but not
yep.
this time.
Not live, but I've seen excerpts.
Uh-oh. Yes. What about you, Norman? I've it seems it. Like right up your alley.
Really?
No, it doesn't.
Wow.
I was being sarcastic.
liar sound.
So actually, fortunately, I was able to see the original because I am dear friends with the orchestrator. He was able to give me house seats when yes. those tickets were not available. And I just loved it at the time. It is, of course, it has proved to be a little problematic.
Yeah.
Because of some of the subject matter.
And the writers.
Pardon me?
And the
and
writers.
And the writers. Well, they did change it a little bit post-George Floyd. And I don't know. I only really noticed a couple of things. And the idea was giving the Africans a little bit more
agency
and to make them look less stupid. And
well done for doing that, guys.
Yes.
By the way, pat yourself on the back.
I have to say, one of the I mean, it was funny, and it you know, it was at it was aimed at the Africans, but she the female character, I forgot her name, starts with an N, had found an old manual typewriter that she said that she would text people with. Get on Facebook on. And she carried around this typewriter. Well, so that went away, and it's now an actual tablet. And then there was a... Then she had a scene that wasn't in the show before. But I enjoyed this production. It is playing at Bass Concert Hall right now. I will say to everybody listening, it is a non-equity production. And oftentimes, with the non-equity productions... not as good, but I'm going to say these people were pretty good.
Wow.
Not all the actors were the best in the world, but they were all, I mean, I enjoyed the show, and I do enjoy the show. How does everybody else feel? Norman?
So you were, the character you were talking about was the role played by Nikki James.
Correct.
In the original.
Yeah, Nikki M. James.
Yes, because I had seen Nikki James at Stratford do Juliet and
very different.
And Cleopatra opposite Christopher Plummer.
Oh, that's very different.
Yes, it is.
But she is.
Yes, I believe the libretto in Hamlet is quite different.
Somewhat.
Tomato, tomato.
Anyway, I enjoyed it. It is playing through this weekend, and you can get information at I think it's TexasPerformingArts.org or easier Austin.Broadway.com.
Are all of their shows this year non-equity?
I don't know. I know that My Fair Lady, which is coming in next, is a non-equity.
Yeah.
I think those may be the only two. Six was equity.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's funny. Before now they sort of advertise whether they're equity or not. And so the trick to find out if they're equity is look at the bios, and if you don't see Broadway credits, then it's non-equity. That's what I did yesterday. But then I went and looked, and it's on Broadway World. It says it's not equity, but I didn't look at that till afterwards. But I enjoyed it. I have to say, I enjoyed it. The show is, it's a fun show. That's it. That's the end of the story. All right. We did have a couple of openings, a few openings that happened. One was on Broadway. And it was Harmony. So we've talked about Harmony a lot, which is about the comedian Harmonix. Is that the right? Is that what they are? Yes, the comedian Harmonix. Boy, my memory is good. which was a singing group prior to World War II, and it comprised of, I think in this story, there's six of them. I'm not sure if that's what it was in real life, but three of them were Jewish, three of them were not Jewish. One of the Jews married a non-Jewish girl, and one of the non-Jewish men married a Jewish woman. It just tells the story of them coming in and then leaving. The aggregator site, Did They Like It, had 13 reviews. Four were positive, three were negative, and six were middle of the road. So it's kind of middle of the roady. In the newspaper of record, the New York Times, Jesse Green didn't like it. It was negative. So this was written by Barry Manilow, as we've talked about. This had a really rocky road to get to Broadway. Did anybody? They've been working on it for 10 years.
No, mm-hmm. I didn't know about it.
Haven't heard about it at all. Yeah.
Did he just write the music?
He wrote the music. Okay. The book was written by Bruce Sussman.
All right.
Jesse Green says, calls it a skillfully, surprisingly theatrical score. It says it's sometime reminiscent of Barbershop, sometimes jazz, and sometimes, I love this one, operetta on LSD.
Ooh. All right.
Sign me up.
It's a very unique subset of music there.
Yeah. So here's part of what he says, and I'll be a little bit redundant here. He says, quote, "The group, consisting by chance of three Jews, one of whom marries a Gentile, three Gentiles, one of whom marries a Jew, inevitably falls victim to the anti-Semitic restrictions of National Socialism. Soon the brotherhood, symbolized in sound by their questing choral closeness, goes sour, a story that, to be effective, needs vivid contrast so we know what's been lost." So his big beef with this was it was really depressing. There were no even chances for it to be upbeat even at the beginning before things fall.
Yeah, I didn't get from your description that this was taking place in Germany, which does put a
Yeah, it does take place.
You're probably not going to get a happy ending there.
No, no, it's not the happy ending. It's like, you know, you. I mean, even in the most doleful shows, I think you need a little bit of joy. You need a little bit of, you know, something. And evidently he says it doesn't. Chip Zinn is, which I did not realize how many shows. I went and looked at his IBDB page, and he's got like 40 Broadway shows under his belt. And he plays Rabbi, which is one of the characters. It says, and despite Zinn's forceful performance, the prominence of the character turns Harmony into a passive show about memory at the expense of actual action. So it takes place as a memory of Rabbi. The other characters, I just want to read this because it's funny. It's got each of the characters that he says has just one or two traits. It's very on the surface, he says. He says, quote, the younger version of Rabbi, Danny Kornfeld, is indecisive. Harry, Zal Owen, is a musical genius. Chopin, Blake Roman, is a hothead. Eric, played by Eric Peters, has secrets and a saying for every occasion. Bobby, Sean Bell, is all about business. And Lesh, Steve Tinsley, well, the author seems to have run out of traits. He's just Bulgarian.
Oh, dear.
And Ringo is the funny one.
Exactly. So also in it is Sierra Bagus, who plays Mary, and Julie Benko, who plays Ruth. So it's got a great cast.
Yeah.
And then it said it had a heavily synthed and amped orchestra of nine. And you would think a show like this, you wouldn't be too heavy on the electronic music.
Well, you would think that.
It's Manilow. What are you going to do?
He writes the songs that make the young girls cry. Other critics, Brittany Samuels of Broadway News said, director-choreographer Warren Carlyle's top-notch ensemble bops and croons in all the right places, never falling out of synchronous step while also emitting a blend of chords that inch us closer to Nirvana. New York Daily News' Chris Jones said, for Barry Manilow to deliver to Broadway an accessible but nonetheless varied and harmonically sophisticated score for a new musical at the age of 80 is a remarkable capper on an extraordinary songwriting and performance career. Didn't think that I was saying that right. Finally, Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said the six actor-singers who played the comedian harmonists, Sean Bell, Danny Kornfeld, Zal Owen, Eric Peters, Blake Roman, and Steve Teasley, five of whom are making their Broadway debut, blend together beautifully without disappearing into anonymity. I love that five of the seven are making their Broadway debuts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's pretty awesome, that's actually.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's it. Any words from any of yous?
I didn't know that Manilow was 80. I guess that makes sense.
It would make sense.
I know.
Everybody's
you didn't want to math it, because then what does that mean for you?
Well, and while Wallace speaking of theater folks, Wallace Shawn just had his 80th birthday, so I'm trying to put Wallace Shawn and Barry Manilow.
Inconceivable.
My dinner with elderly Andre.
my early bird special with Andre.
PM newbie special.
So going from a negative review to a negative review, Danny in the Deep Blue Sea opened, the John Patrick Shanley revival with Aubrey Plaza and Christopher Abbott, who I don't know Christopher Abbott, but evidently he played the boyfriend on some series. Girls.
Okay, yes.
Yes. I wasn't really familiar with the plot of Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, so I had to Wikipedia. Bethany is like making a face and shaking her head, which doesn't really work on radio, but I'll translate.
Interrupt.
No, you can interrupt. I just talk. Anybody else familiar with it? I bet you are.
Well, I saw it in Los Angeles at one of those teeny tiny little theaters with the actor who was the... Not Seymour in I think he wasn't the plant. He was Seymour.
Okay.
So it was sort of interesting. It's a two person play. It's like about 90 minutes. It's interesting. I mean, I think Doubt is a better script, but you know.
Yeah, that's what people said. So here's the summary of the play. It involves Danny and Roberta, who meet in a bar. It's set in the Bronx. The story revolves around Danny and Roberta, who strike up a conversation in a bar. He is a brooding, self-loathing young man who resorts more to violence than reason. She is a divorced, guilt-ridden young woman whose troubled teenage son is now being cared for by her parents. Danny, whose fellow truck drivers call him the animal, seems incapable of tender emotion, while Roberta, who is still haunted by the memory of an ugly sexual incident involving her father, is distrustful of men in general. Not a rip-roaring comedy.
Yeah, lots of laughs.
Sounds like a great family. Yeah.
So it was in 1983. It played Circle in the Square with John Turturro and June Stein. It had a revival at Second Stage in 2004 with Adam Rothenberg and Rose Marie DeWitt. Elizabeth Vincentelli reviewed this for the New York Times. She did not seem very happy with it. The play is, it's got a subtitle. Norman, do you know what the subtitle is? I did not know this.
No, I can't just see.
It's subtitled an Apache Dance.
So Apache as in patches that you sew onto your clothing?
No, Apache as in Native American.
The Native American tribe. Okay.
Yeah.
So I saw it the second year of the Olympic Arts Festival because I went to Los Angeles to see the Mahabharata, all 9 hours of it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There you go.
Yes, 9 hours.
Well, this 90-minute two-hander was probably a nice little sorbet after that.
Well, that was fascinating because those actors that had worked with Peter Brook, they came from all over the world.
Yeah.
So when they did the Mahabharata in Avignon, they all learned French. And when they came to the U.S., anyone who didn't know English all learned English.
Wow.
And there were angry letters in the LA Times because there was this fabulous Japanese actor. The more you listened to him, you understood everything he said, but in a very thick, thick accent. But it was fairly amazing. It amazed me because it was like 30 or 40 people.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes, who would, you know, devote their lives to go and work with Peter Brook in France and then do this, learn French to do it in France and then English to do it in the U.S.
Well, I would do it if he asked me.
Yes, if you were getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they were learning it phonetically and not like, you know, actually learning how to speak fluent English.
Well, because after they did it, you know, they went to New York and did it. So I'm sure the longer they were in the U.S., you know.
Well, yeah, sure.
You can get it. I know. That's how I learned my Torah portion from my bar mitzvah.
Phonetically.
So that's a whole nother thing. So we could talk about this forever, but we're going to stop. I do want to, I just need to always say what I now say every week is that the views and opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its staff, board of directors, or underwriters. It's just me talking my little guts out. And I need to, we have a little update. I think it was last week that we talked about the show, the very racy musical that a school board said could not be done.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Yes.
Yeah, so the school board voted and decided to let it be done.
Were they concerned about the geese getting
That's killed? Where musicals really went down the hill when they started combining them with ballet.
Well, they said a whole bunch of different reasons why it was, but the basic reason was there was a trans boy who was cast as Ali Hakim, and they did not want him portraying it. So they made a whole list of things that was wrong with the play, and as part of what they said people have got to be cast in the characters based on their sex assigned at birth. So that
insert giant eye roll here.
Yeah.
Thanks,
the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization shut down a performance in Dallas because Curly was African American.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that. That's,
yes.
Wow.
So, it's just wrong.
Yes.
The school board offered this apology. We want to apologize to our students, parents, and community regarding the circumstances that they had to go through to this date. We understand that our decision does not erase the impact this had on our community, but we hope that we will enforce to everyone, particularly our students, we do embrace all of our board goals, including addressing the diverse needs of our students and empowering them for success in a diverse and complex world. The board is committed to uphold its ethical duties, including being continuously guided by what is best for all students in our district. And what most of the people that spoke at the school board meeting were obviously in favor of having Oklahoma, but most of them said something like this: I demand that the school board upholds its self-reported goals 5 and 6 by supporting LGBTQ students. I demand the school board allow Sherman High School to perform Oklahoma and all future shows in its original form with students cast in roles they earn. I demand the board maintain SISD theater department as a welcoming and inclusive space. It just seems a shame that we have to do all this.
That's
why is this still called a conversation at this point?
Exactly.
Why is this not already a given that, of course, you're going to cast someone who's best fit for a part?
Well, and the callous decisions at the top that have rolled down and are making parents and kids have to duke this out is just abominable.
Exactly. And unfortunately, we're going to be running on this road at least until 2025.
At least.
Always around the presidential election, there is some wedge issue that's brought up, usually involving queer people.
Yes, and if you don't have any plans for the economy or anything else going forward, it's good to have a football like
this.
Let's
talk about this. Did anybody see the Mean Girls trailer?
Yes.
Just Bo.
The only person in the room.
The actor who's playing Regina George, she is in a Mindy Kaling sitcom, The Sex Lives of College Girls, I really like. Mm-hmm. She played the original Regina George when they turned it into a Broadway musical to begin with. I think she's wonderful. I don't really, I haven't been sitting around going, oh my God, I wish they would televise the Mean Girls musical, but if they're going to pick somebody to play it, she's great.
It's not a videotaping of a theater performance, and it's an actual film. But what most people, especially musical theater folks, are all enraged about is that the trailer includes no music.
No, exactly.
But if you remember back to when Les Mis came out, the trailer didn't show music either.
For Les Mis. That's
They know the musical fandom is going to come to the well. They're trying to get the people who are not musical stands.
And relative to the rest of the world that watches movie, the musical fandom is a smaller group.
They're trying to get the non-weirdos.
Yeah, but
could it be like Les Mis? There was musical issues. Like can certain people sing?
Oh no, he can't sing. What's his name? I just lost his name. Who played Javert?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, thank you.
Gladiator, yes.
Yeah, I actually liked Les Mis, with the exception of Russell Crowe. But I also think that Javert, as a character, shouldn't... It's a flawed, terrible character.
Yeah, he can Rex Harrison in his lines. That's fine.
Yeah. So the last thing we need to talk about, because, of course, we went out of time and I didn't, hit everything.
That's right.
But I just stumbled upon, I don't do the social medias as much as I could, but there was one of these, We Are the World moments where all these theater people got together and they sang, speaking of Les Mis, Les Mis, Bring Them Home, with a cacophony of people singing, of which... This is just a short list. Kelly O'Hara, Jesse Mueller, Annalee Ashford, Jeremy Jordan, Alex Newell, Deborah Messing, Seth Rudetsky, Billy Porter, all singing this in solidarity for getting the hostages back.
Yes.
So we'll hear a little bit of that as we go to break. We'll be right back.
Beautiful.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and... Whoops, we're going to just hear the last little bit of that. And Tony, how are we doing so far, Tony?
I'm doing really great. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you seem okay.
Yeah,
I'm a little
achy.
I'm not concerned.
I'm feeling all of my 36 years.
Oh, poor baby.
Here at 29, I wouldn't know.
I feel like it. Okay, well, let's reintroduce our guests and get, you know, the reason why they're here is not to just jibber jab with me, but this is Different Stages, and they're performing Miss Lulu Bett, and we have the artistic director of Different Stages as well as the director of this piece, Mr. Norman Blumenthot.
Hello.
Hola. And then two of the performers, Bethany Harbaugh.
Hello, hello.
And Beau Paul.
Hello.
Miss Lulu Bett is like, that's a new piece by one of the contemporary playwrights in town, correct?
No.
It's
from 1920. Oh. It was one of, in 1920, the two best-selling books in the U.S. were Main Street by Sinclair Lewis and Miss Lulu Bett by Zona Gale.
And Zona Gale is a great name, I have to say.
Well, she's from Portage, Wisconsin.
Who isn't?
after this was a huge hit, a Broadway producer convinced her to do a stage version, which she wrote off in about a week or two. And it proved to be a big hit, except for her original ending, which we're doing.
Ah, okay.
Yes, because this play...
So the play was published with a different ending than what you're doing?
No, the play is published with both third acts.
Oh, okay.
But it was performed with an ending that we are not performing.
Yes, that she... it's kind of a mashup of the Mama's Family sketches from Carol Burnett in A Doll's House.
Wow.
That sounds like the dream I had last night.
Yes, because in the original version, you know, Miss Lulu Bett left because she's the family slave. The audience is, it's very strange. The Broadway audience is kind of like Hollywood, how Hollywood always has to have a happy ending.
Yep.
Yes. So the audiences wanted a happy ending, and she gave them a happy ending, and it ran for like 2 years.
And so you are not giving them a happy ending, maybe.
No, I'm not giving them a happy ending, because I think the play has more power with that.
And yet it is called an American Comedy of Manners.
Well, I mean, the characters now are probably more like some of our politicians, where bad manners are so rampant.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, but in the time period, some of the manners of these characters are fairly bad.
Amazing. Well, while we're talking about the play in general, I was interested to learn by reading your postcard that this was the first play written by a woman to win a Pulitzer.
Yes.
For drama.
Yes.
And that was in 1921. Actually, that's kind of forward for 1921.
Well, I don't know whether it was a Pulitzer Prize mistake. I mean, I don't mean the play. I mean the committee, sort of. Like,
no, I gotcha.
We have A, B, C, D. We'll pick this one because it wasn't. I don't know when Allison's House, the play by. Oh, the woman who wrote Trifles. That was like, it was like another 6, 8, 10 years before a woman won the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
And then after that, I don't think it was until Harvey, you know, Mary Chase.
Harvey.
Yes, yes, that it took that long, you know, for someone else a woman to win the Pulitzer Prize.
Amazing. Well, Bethany, tell us about your character. You're Lulu, are you not?
I am Miss Lulu Bett. It's a very small role in the show.
It's the
tiny titular role.
So Lulu is she's a very interesting character to me. She starts out, had her described as both spunky and browbeaten at the same time, which has been fun to try to capture and have this growth journey with her as she finds herself and grows a backbone for herself. And without giving too much away, I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Okay. And Beau, who are you playing?
My character's name is Mr. Neil Cornish, and I think I'm the salt of the earth character that kind of seasons the fact that a lot of people in this play are very horrible.
Aww.
which is nice because I'm not often playing the sweet guy, so that's a pleasant change.
And it really is a comedy of small town life. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Neil Cornish is the local piano salesman, so you know, it's 1920s small town life. Long scenes on the porch, because the porch was the entertainment. You could watch the neighbors.
And it was also cooler out there.
Yes, you could find out what the neighbors were doing or what they weren't doing, or spy on them.
Well, y'all are prepared to do a little scene for us, are you not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent. Does somebody, you want to set this up, Norman, or do you want to just let it go?
Well, it's interesting. Lulu ends up with multiple suitors. We won't go into the
plot.
You
say that like it's a surprise for me.
Yes, but Mr. Cornish is suitor number two.
Okay. Numero dos, as we say.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Bhopal and Bethany Harbaugh doing a scene from different stages production of Miss Lulu Bett.
Well,
I'm going.
I suppose he cut up like a hyena over that letter being opened.
Oh, he forgave me that.
Forgave you?
Overlooked it, rather.
Anyway, he's convinced now about that other Mrs. Ninian Deacon.
Yes, but you mustn't say anything about that, please, ever.
Even now? I'm jumped up. Even now? Then... Well, I guess I see why you're going.
It isn't only that. I'm going.
I see. Would you tell me where?
Maybe after a while.
I do want you to, because I think you're a brick.
Oh, no.
Yes, you are. By George, you don't find that many married women with as good sense as you've got.
I know. Thank you.
You've been a jewel in their home. I know that. They're going to miss you no end.
They'll miss my cooking.
They'll miss more than that. I've watched you there.
You have?
You made the whole place go.
You don't mean just the cooking?
No.
Oh. I must go now.
I hate to have you go. I hate to have you go.
Oh, well?
Look here, I wish you weren't going.
Do you?
Goodbye, Miss Lulu. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, Ms. Lulu, the brick. There's a compliment for someone.
Oh, yeah.
The brick. Well,
that really set him back in 1920.
Yeah, the syntax is very 1920. We've had lots of discussions about what are they actually saying to each other.
I'll bet.
Yes, because it's different. You know, it's almost like doing Shakespeare. It's a different American speech altogether.
Well, I think, based in context and all seriousness, this seems very clear to me what they were saying. But well, could I be wrong?
Not all of it. And it's just certain things. Yeah. Like,
well, it's like phrasing.
It's the word choices.
It's like Shakespeare, you know. You'll context that up. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So, does it take place in the 20s?
Yes.
Excellent. Anything else you want to highlight about the show?
Well, okay. So we did last year. We did a different Pulitzer Prize winning play by a woman. But the other thing that I think is interesting is women's suffrage was 1919.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the next year.
Correct.
And the whole thing of like two writers writing these satires of small town American life and to realize that, you know, because Main Street's like 500 pages long and this Miss Lulu Bett's like about 200 to 250 pages long. So they're very different, but very much making fun of the small town and the attitudes of people in small towns and whatever. So.
Well, that is amazing. Y'all open Thursday.
Our official opening is Friday.
Yep.
And we run through December 9th at the Vortex.
At the Vortex Theater. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can either go to the Different Stages website or the Vortex website.
Right, and the Different Stages website is differentstages.org.
Theater, spelled the French way.
Yeah, you know, my notes have last week's show on it. So anyway, really happy y'all were on. Thank you, and have a great run.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Okay, great. That was Norman Blumensaat, Bhopal, and Bethany Harbaugh of Different Stages production of Miss Lulu Bett, playing the 17th through December 9th at the Vortex. For more information, differentstagestheater.org. And one of the things that we didn't talk about, but it's important for the next song, is that Lulu Bett is staying with her sisters, which made me think of this.
Sisters, sisters, there were never such devoted sisters.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Tony.
Hello.
Hello. Hold on, I got to turn this volume back up. That was a these promotions that they have, I get very frustrated with the amount of music on the tail end of them, and I always have to fade them out. So let's just introduce the folks that joined us now before we get into our discussion of what's happening locally. We have famous offstage and on the air co-host, Miss Ann Ciccolella. Hi, Ann. Wait, hold on. Yeah. I'm going to turn your microphone on. Say that
well,
again.
Thank you so much. I just said infamous.
But that's not true.
But that's kind of fun. It's more okay. fun.
Yeah, I'd rather right. be infamous.
I do. You know what? I always tell people that the villain is the fun role to play. Veronica Kramer. Am I pronouncing that properly?
Yes. Okay. Veronica Alvarado Kramer. Yes.
Okay. And
happy
Sebastian Vitale. How
Hello,
are you, Sebastian?
Lisa.
How are you?
Good, good.
Excellent. Let's just really quickly talk about local stuff. First of all, I just want to say that this isn't local, but I was very excited when the mail came. My physical copy of American Theater Magazine came in today. Did you get yours? Did anybody else get theirs?
I did not.
It came today, so it was very exciting to see them back in print. And I want to share something. Which I forgot about till I just thumbed through it, and I have a dog-eared leaf. So they have lots of different things that they put in here. I'm going to read a poem that's in here. Here it is. We now live in a world which is our world no longer. How can that be? It just is. That happens too. Forests through which we used to wander are mined and devastated by tanks. Bridges we used to take to visit relatives are destroyed. Our relatives are dead or gone crazy. Friends are held captive in captured cities or have left for where they never had any intention on going. Theaters are bombed to dust. Theater actors guard checkpoints with machine guns in hand. What kind of world is this? The world of war. And what is war? It is something that cannot be, ever, but it is. How can that be? It cannot be. We live in a world that cannot be. What could happen has happened. The unspeakable has happened. The unreal has happened. Are we alive at all? We who survived? So that's a poem. It's an excerpt from a show called Survivor Syndrome from Andrei Bonadarenko's short play. And I find that interesting. What do you think that poem is about?
I mean, it's so sad. War and today, oh my God.
Well, as I read it, I assumed it was about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but it's not. It's about Ukraine and Russia.
Oh, really?
But it could easily translate the same bleeding words. I just thought it was beautiful, first of all, yeah. And I just thought I'd share that.
It's very, well, honestly, very beautiful and very powerful. And
yeah.
It's true, that can be said of all war. And I think now, especially with social media, and we touch on it in this play a little bit, but starting to see a lot of societal constructs as constructs, mm-hmm. a lot of that war is a game that people, unfortunately, we've all decided that we can participate in it and it's a reality, but it's true. It's a game that yep. has money behind it, that has different intentions behind it. And
true, true, true.
In the play, we touch on this a little bit.
Which we're going to talk about in a little second. Which we're not there yet, but that play, for those that are just want, that is El Cid, that by Austin Shakespeare. So other local things, I want Tony to just say, you're working on a show right now.
I am.
Tell
I'm
us about it. What is it?
I'm in Murder on the Links at Austin
cool.
Playhouse,
yeah.
written and directed by Stephen Dietz. I am having the time of my life. It is so much fun.
He's not the Stephen Dietz character. He's not a better director than, say, Ann Ciccolella or Lisa
Shepp.
He's Shep,
the most produced playwright in America.
Notice how.
Is he?
He is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He is. Get that.
I Wikipedia will tell you.
It's actually it's in here. I may have to
You're
going to
dispute it.
Well, it may be of student productions, of mm-hmm. community productions, you know, beyond the Tracy Letts.
So tell us, so are you a golfer?
I do not get to play golf in it, but I do get to hold a golf club.
Well, that's good.
it's probably for the best that there are no sports ball for Tony.
that's the way I do it. So when is that opening up?
December 1st.
December 1st. That's right around the corner.
It is.
You have your lines memorized?
Every single syllable.
Wow. I would not expect anything less. In the essence of time, we're going to just brush right past it. But you can get information about that at austinplayhouse.org. .com. Yeah, they do it wrong.
And may I say they're looking for volunteers to help.
Yeah, and you could get information about that as well at austinplayhouse.com. Do you know what kind of volunteers they're looking for?
I assume it's .org.
It's .com.
No, it's .com.
You assume incorrectly, Aunt Chicklella. It makes me very happy to say that, because that rarely can I say that.
I think they're still looking for door greeters as volunteers, and you get a free ticket to
see
the
show. That was actually my sorority name in college.
Yeah.
Door greeters.
I remember that.
It is true. So I just want to highlight one little thing. Andy over at City Theater is doing a music thing as a fundraiser. It's called Moments, Songs of Giving Thanks. And you know what? I don't think I printed out the thing where I can give you any information. But you can get information at citytheateraustin.org. To get information about it, but they have a big lineup of singers that are going to be doing a bunch of standards and songs from shows, very much like Austin Shakespeare does at times. At the
we try to do a theme.
This one has a theme.
Thanks.
So when is your next one?
We
don't have it scheduled.
We love Parker Jazz.
Oh, yeah. Parker
and
Jazz.
Sebastian has been at Parker Jazz.
Yes. I know. We did West Side Story concert. The concert, it was amazing.
But you've done. Yeah, but with Adam?
Oh, yeah, with Adam, too. Yeah.
Adam who?
Adam Roberts.
I never heard of him.
Oh, my God.
Me either.
So that's that. So the other things that are playing currently in the city of Austin at Zach Theater, we have The Thin Place. It plays to the 26th. Jarrett Productions
scary.
Is closed their production of Death Trap, but evidently they just did gangbusters with audience, if you believe the social medias.
Well, Death Trap is a very popular, it's always been
popular. It is. I have a Death Trap story, but I'm not going to say
do?
Anything. Penfold is playing Art at Ground Floor Theater. They've got their last weekend. I've seen it. It's really wonderful. They did a really great job. If anybody has seen it, I thought it was performed well, directed well, all the things. Best I can do. St. Ed's has the Wolves, which they were our guests last week. I really am hoping to see this. It plays through the 19th. Austin Shakespeare has El Cid, which we're going to see. That's we're going to talk to. Plays through the 26th. We already talked about it. Broadway and Austin's Book of Mormon plays through this weekend. The Latino Comedy Project has Barrio Days through the 18th at Hyde Park Theater. And again, we have the Belua, the UT Department of Theater and Dance, plays through the 18th. It's done in a classroom. I believe it's very immersive, which it would have to be if it was done in a classroom.
There's some classrooms there that are quite huge. Performative, as they
yes,
say.
As they say. So we're not going to end on this note, but we do want to talk about our very dear friend of the theater here in the city, Mark Puhay, who is battling some pretty severe health issues. And I just want to say from Ground Floor Theater, and if you look at all the outpouring of love on social media, he is beloved and loved by this theater community. And so we just need to shout out to him for healing. There is also a GoFundMe page to help defray costs of some very costly medical procedures he's going to have to go through. I guess that's putting it lightly. But he's been very vocal about it. You can see him giving self videos on social media.
And we are looking for a kidney donor.
That is a good question. Talk to me after, because I'm willing to be tested. Nowhere did I see that. I was wondering that. So he's looking to get a kidney transplant. So there you go. Mark, we love you. Best wishes and best health as you travel this journey. And know that you are not, by any way, stretch of the imagination, traveling this journey alone. You are loved by this community.
Poo-hay. Hang in there.
Yeah, hang in there, Mark. So that's that. Very sad. I don't look at social media. I just happened to look the day it all came out. I just happened to look at it. And I have to tell you that I was shocked is an understatement.
It was devastating when you heard him and saw him for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Because he's such a vital person.
Yes. Yes, and he was. They didn't.
So sick. If you look now, though, he, after multiple dialysis treatments, is, you know, feeling significantly better. Right. He still has a long road ahead of him, but so happy to see him up and around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's get through this because we want to make sure we have time to talk about El Cid today in theater history.
Today in theater history.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. How to Dance in Ohio. This is something that they've been doing. It starts previews today, so I don't really think that counts as history. But it's starting previews. Latin History for Morons, John Leguizamo.
Oh, John Leguizamo.
I just said that so that people know I can pronounce his name. The Rocky Horror Show had a revival in 2000. And Lil Abner opened in 1956. Birthdays, Sheldon Epps, Doreen Montalavo. I'm older than all these people. Sam Waterston.
Hey, Sam.
I'm not older than Ed Asner. He's older than I am.
There you go.
Also opening on this date in 2018 is The Prom. And we are going to go off listening to a little piece of The Prom called Just Believe. We will be right back.
Note to self, don't be gay in Indiana.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Tony. We've had a great conversation about the locals' goings-on around here.
So many.
And we're a very busy community right
now. It's vibrant.
And speaking of that, in its second week of its run, I think.
Yeah, we just started the second week.
El Cid of Austin Shakespeare, and we are fortunate enough to have the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare and Offstage and On the Air, co-host and the director of this piece.
Yeah.
And Chickalella.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Of course. And two of the performers, Veronica Kramer. Hi.
Yes, hello.
And Sebastian Vitale.
Yeah, baby.
So, El Cid, this is a show that's it's not all that new, is it? It's been around.
Yeah. It's kind of post Shakespeare, and it's when P.S. it was really
that.
Developed in France, of course.
Well,
it's Le Cid.
So tell us about it. What is El Cid?
Well, I'm going to have you guys say the story.
All right.
So is about two lovers who can't quite be lovers. Tell us, Vera, what goes on here.
So from Jimen's perspective, she is in a emotional paralysis over a huge conflict, which is having a true love and having that true love kill your father, and being in this battle between honor and societal constructs of the king, and you know all of these kind of whims that are above her. And I think in her angst, rage, and at this entire system, she has to, she like is crazier than the system. And so we see what happens kind of through that whole journey.
People say I'm crazier than the system. And tell me the character's name again. Is it Jimena?
Yeah. Jimen.
Jimen.
Rodrigo calls her He-Man.
Because he's a He-Man.
My character name is Rodrigo. He is El Cid. And, well, he has a huge conflict because, like, her father dishonored my father, so I have to go to duel and kill him.
Well, else are you going to do?
Right, of course.
He slapped Evelyn in the face, and, you know, that's rough. Yeah. And also, this is how you become the Cid.
Exactly.
So this is, he's very, very young, Lisa, in this play. He's the young...
Typecasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know that I have to say that, but El Cid is spelled C-I-D.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh,
that's
a great question.
What does that mean?
Do you want to answer that?
Sure. Said, S-A-A-Y-D. He's the Lord.
Okay.
So he took over the Moors. And the Moors were so wowed by him that they gave him this name, El Said. So we just learned this in the play.
Shortened to El Cid.
There a Spanish interpretation, right? They were like, El Cid.
It's actually like how they heard it. And so instead of Said, they said, El Cid.
Okay.
There you go.
That sounds like what we would do.
People never change, right?
They don't.
We do have a scene for you. Tiny.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to get some information first, but I'll jump right to that. Whenever Anne tells me to do something, I have to do it. So tell us about the scene. Somebody want to set it up?
Sure. This is in the depth, in the middle of the play. We hear a lot about these two lovers, but we rarely see them together. And this is a long scene, and I will just tell you that in these lines, they're moving slowly toward each other. Are they going to kill each other? Are they going to kiss each other? What's going to happen?
Well, I love that it's a long scene, but we only have 8 minutes left.
We shortened it.
Okay, good.
You're just getting the climax.
Okay, good. I just got the vapors on that one. All right, well, this is Sebastian Vitale and Veronica Kramer doing a scene from Austin Shakespeare's El Cid.
If it's known that I received you, don't give them grounds to doubt my virtue. Otra vez, sal de aquí.
¿Qué piensas hacer?
Though the heat of affection tries to stem my anger, I will do everything possible to avenge my father. Despite the cruel requirements of this duty, my only hope is to not prevail.
Ay, qué milagro tal amor.
Amor de desdichas y miserias.
So much pain and weeping required by family duty.
Who could have imagined?
Shaman, who could have foreseen?
Our early shining hour wouldn't endure.
Our ship of fortune sinks so close to port.
Ay, destino fatal.
Such wasted regrets.
Basta. Desaparece. No te escucharé más.
Farewell. I will live in misery until the king decrees my death.
I pledge that if I succeed, I won't live a moment longer than you.
Beautiful.
I'm struck. That was gorgeous. So we clearly have some Spanish that's going on in this show.
Surprise!
Which I love, and I think it's good. Is that how it is written?
So it's written originally in French. And your friend and mine,
yes,
Michael Meggs.
Oh, right, so that's right. He
Central
did this.
Texas Live Theater. Mm-hmm. I did not know is a world class translator.
Oh yeah,
I actually did know that.
He took the whole French, did the whole play in English, rewrote it, translated it, and then put 15% Spanish through
it. Amazing.
And very important is that the Spanish is always a repetition almost of the English. So even if you don't speak Spanish and you go to the play, like, don't just enjoy the flow of the language, but the story is still expressed.
It's still
the same
there
in English,
and you know what? I would not be unhappy if there were things that if you didn't understand it, you didn't get it, because I think that we snobby Americans that are, and I'm one of them that only speaks one language, it's our fault. We should know multiple language. In Europe, how many languages do you know, Sebastian?
Four.
How many do you know?
Four,
see? I know one.
Two.
Well, Pig Latin. So two.
I'm working on Duolingo.
Oh, good.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's no, shameful, and and I'm as guilty as
But it's also whatever you don't get from the Spanish, you get it from acting.
See?
Yes, so. Of course.
Mm. Claro que sí.
There we go.
I speak Spanish.
May I just say one more thing? Sebastian is a wonderful sword fighter.
Ah,
so Toby Meyer came in and he said, "You really want a 1 minute sword fight?" And I said, "Yeah,
that's
I really
a long
do.
Time."
It's like that's well, it's longer than a minute actually, but they did a great
but it's
job.
It's so much fun. It's the first time that I'm doing it, and it was so much fun. I mean, working with Toby, I have worked with him before, but the sword fight is intense.
Who are you fighting with?
My father-in-law.
So Ev Lunning.
No, that's my father.
Oh, that's
Nolan
your father.
Munia, and they're both musical theater people. Uh-huh. So they're both great and in their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's very dancey, as you know.
Amazing. And where are y'all performing this show?
We're at our residence at the Rollins Theater at the Long Center. We've been in there 15 years.
It's been 15 years.
Yes. And we're there twice a year. And we'll be back in February with O. Henry Stories.
Lovely.
Amazing.
And you're playing now. When do you close?
We close on the 26th.
The 26th?
We're actually performing the day before Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. And, you know, Rupert Reyes is our king.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to go away before and after Thanksgiving. So if I wanted him, I had to get an understudy. You know, in Austin,
I could
do
it.
That. You know who's doing it?
Me.
Tim Blackwood.
Oh, amazing.
Wow. So Tim's very excited to do it, and we're excited to have him. And he's been sort of shadowing us through the rehearsal process.
Lovely. Well, he'll do an amazing job. And y'all have a – do you have a 7:30 curtain time?
7:30 curtain.
Yeah. So that's actually – I learned that. I forgot. It was some Tom Stoppard play you were doing. And Nicole and I arrived at like 7:45 for the 8 o'clock curtain, and the – a lobby was empty and Anne was out there and she said, what are y'all doing?
But so, you also get to have Sundays at 3 p.m.
No, okay, lovely. I'm actually in favor of ground floor theater. Not that it's always about ground floor theater, but we are switching in 2024 to a 7:30 curtain.
Oh,
as well.
That's oh. Great.
Yep. I'm liking it. Is this a two-act or a one-act?
This is two acts. It's 2 hours okay. long, which is actually quite short for a classical
yep,
play.
Very short.
But we have talkbacks, as you know,
of course,
after performances. And we have some professors coming. Tuesday will be panel catalogs, and we'll have UT professors and so on. But we have a blast, as
well,
you
know. Great. Well, thanks so much, and best wishes on the rest of the run.
Thanks for having us.
You are quite
Thanksgiving.
Welcome. That was Anne Ciccolella, Sebastian Vitale, and Veronica Kramer of Austin Shakespeare's production of El Cid. Or El Said, as I like to say, plays through the 26th of this month. And for more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. And this is called The Duel from The Great Comet. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Tony. By the way, if you didn't notice, Nicole is not here. she is in Houston.
I'm her understudy.
You are her understudy, and a wonderful understudy at that. She is in Houston, busily working on MJ the musical out there. Well, we just have time to wrap it up. Tony, thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me play with you again.
And you and I are going to lunch.
Yes.
Yeah. So coming up next is the Austin Common Radio Hour. This week, it's Racism on the Levels with Stacey Frazier, and they are getting ready to go. They look like they have a wonderful lineup of guests here. And so I wanted to, I just noticed that the Merrily We Roll Along cast album just dropped. So
exciting.
So I'm going to play a little piece of that that folks can listen to while we're done. And so we will see y'all next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Thanks again, Tony.
Adios.
Pick yourself a road, get to know the countryside. Soon enough, you're merrily, merrily practicing dreams, dreams that will explode, waking up the countryside.